Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this wonderful and beautiful Sabbath of the 26th of November, the last Sabbath of the month, 2016. Thank you for your patience. The internet crashed just as I was coming or about ready to come into the room after Sister Rose had finished. And so I had to reboot the internet. And then had to unplug the connection to my computer and plug it back in, and then it decided to work. So praise God for his merciful kindness and allowing us all to be together on this wonderful Sabbath. Welcome also to those that are on the phone and those listening to the recording, and appreciate you choosing to be with us at this time. Before we get into our study book of the Desire of Ages, it's time for us to kneel and bow our heads for opening prayer. Our dear precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much that you are in control of all things and that the devil is a defeated foe, that there's nothing that he can do against thy perfect will. And so, Father, we pray that you will increase our faith, our hope, and our trust in thee, and also help us to recognize our utter dependence upon thee in this wicked world. We give you full control of this home church, of this meeting, and of our lives. And we ask that thy presence will be with us, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, that we will indeed receive divine nourishment and will have our understanding of truth enlarged and may partake more of our Savior, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Be with all of those who have requested prayers, whether spoken or unspoken. And we thank you, dear Father, for doing so, especially for those that are going through suffering or affliction or disease or struggling to maintain their faith or their hold on life, and draw especially close to them, lead and guide them, encourage them, comfort them, and strengthen them. And thank you so much for being such a merciful, kind, compassionate, and personal God. We thank you for being with us. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Well, we're beginning a new chapter in Desire of Ages. It's chapter 39. Give ye them to eat. And it begins on page 364. Christ had retired to a secluded place with his disciples. But this rare season of peaceful quietude was soon broken. The disciples thought that they had retired where they would not be disturbed, but as soon as the multitude missed the divine teacher, they inquired, "Where is he?" Some among them had noticed the direction in which Christ and his disciples had gone. Many went by land to meet them, while others followed in their boats across the water. The Passover was at hand, and from far and near, bands of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem gathered to see Jesus. Additions were made to their number until there were assembled 5,000 men besides women and children. So you can imagine there was probably 15,000 or more individuals there, depending on how large the family was. Continuing, before Christ reached the shore, the multitude were waiting for him. But he landed unobserved by them and spent a little time apart with his disciples. From the hillside, he looked upon the moving multitude, and his heart was stirred with sympathy. Interrupted as he was and robbed of his rest, he was not impatient. How many of us become irritated if we're focusing on a particular project or needing to take a nap during the middle of the day and it's disturbed, interrupted? How many of us become upset, impatient, frustrated? It happens to us all, including myself. But we need to keep self hid in Christ Jesus and not allow impatience to turn into anger or turn into heated words or turn into unloving actions. We need to keep it under the control of God's Word. So even though Christ sought rest, he was interrupted, and he did not become impatient. Continuing, he saw a greater necessity demanding his attention as he watched the people coming and still coming. He was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. So when we're interrupted and we're tempted to become impatient, we feel frustration welling up within us. We need to focus away from what we want and be moved with compassion towards those that are interrupting us. Continuing, leaving his retreat, he found a convenient place where he could minister to them. They received no help from the priests and rulers, but the healing waters of life flowed from Christ as he taught the multitude the way of salvation. The people listened to the words of mercy flowing so freely from the lips of the Son of God. They heard the gracious words, so simple and so plain, that they were as the balm of Gilead to their souls. So the words that Christ spoke here were not words that the people needed to grab a dictionary in order to understand, if there would have been one at the time. But the words that he spoke were easy to understand. They were simple and so plain that even children could comprehend them. Continuing, the healing of his divine hand brought gladness and life to the dying, and ease and health to those suffering with disease. The day seemed to them like heaven upon earth, and they were utterly unconscious of how long it had been since they had eaten anything. At length the day was far spent. The sun was sinking in the west, and yet the people lingered. Jesus had labored all day without food or rest. He was pale from weariness and hunger, and the disciples besought him to cease from his toil. But he could not withdraw himself from the multitude that pressed upon him. The disciples finally came to him, urging that for their own sake the people should be sent away. Many had come from far and had eaten nothing since morning. In the surrounding towns and villages they might be able to buy food. But Jesus said, "Give ye them to eat." And then turning to Philip, questioned, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" This he said to test the faith of the disciple. Philip looked over the sea of heads and thought how impossible it would be to provide food to satisfy the wants of such a crowd. He answered that 200 pennyworth of bread would not be nearly enough to divide among them so that each might have a little. So here Jesus was hungry and tired himself, pale from weariness, having spoken to the people all day from morning until the middle afternoon. But Christ here was more concerned about the welfare of the people than he was his own welfare. Continuing. Jesus inquired how much food could be found among the company. "There is a lad here," said Andrew, "which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many?" Jesus directed that these be brought to him. Then he bade the disciples seat the people on the grass in parties of 50 or 100 to preserve order. Now, if there was, let's say, 10,000 people there, then that would be 100 different companies made up of 100 people. Or that would be 200 different companies made up of 50 in a company. So if you can picture looking out over this field and seeing at least 100 different companies of people seated down in 100 each, that's how large that amount of people would look like. So what is this small amount of food compared to so many people? Christ asked. Andrew asked. So then Christ, without answering his question, told the disciples to allow the people to group together in companies of 50 or 100 and sit down. And the reason why was to preserve order, but, continuing, and that all might witness what he was about to do. So there was more behind Christ providing the food for this mass of people. And that other reason was he wanted them all to recognize that he was the sent from God. He was the Messiah, the anointed one. He wasn't doing it just to show that he was capable of doing it. He was doing it to reveal to the people that the Messiah was here so that they could receive him as the Messiah and thus come into direct connection with salvation. Continuing. When this was accomplished, Jesus took the food and looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to the disciples and the disciples to the multitude. Now remember, this was just a very few fish and loaves of bread. And there were 12 disciples. So if you can imagine, Christ lifted this food up to heaven, said a prayer over it, and then brought it down and began to break the fish open into small pieces. So as the first disciple came to him with the basket full, he'd take a fish and break it up, and take a loaf and break it up. And when the next disciple came, there was still more for Christ to break up. And it didn't cease until all, continuing, and they did all eat and were filled. 10,000 to 15,000 people ate the bread and the fish that had been blessed by Christ and multiplied by the miracle of God. And finally, continuing, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. So here, from so small amount of food, after all the people ate and were satisfied, Christ told his disciples to gather up all the fragments that remain, and they did so. And now there was 12 baskets full of food. That's what God is able to do. When Elijah went to Sarepta, I believe it was, and there was a woman that was on her last bit of flour and oil and was in the process of baking one small cake for her and her son, and then there was no more food. Elijah asked her to bake him a cake first. And he said that God will provide for you the remaining amount of food so that you can survive this famine. She did so from faith. Elijah received his cake. You can imagine him praying. And then the woman went and baked her and her son a cake. The next day she went in, there was just enough oil remaining in the flask and just enough flour remaining in the barrel at the bottom to bake another cake. And that was always the case, day after day after day, for the remaining time of the famine, the drought. That's what God is able to do. If you've ever seen oil in a bottle and it gets down to the very last little bit and you pour that out, there's always oil that clings to the side of the flask or the glass. And then when you turn it back up and set it down on the bottom, it takes a little bit and the oil that was on the sides of the glass settle back down on the bottom. So it looked like you had nothing in there as you poured the last bit out, but as you set it back down, oil was able to settle back down at the bottom. It wasn't the same amount that was there before, it's less now. So you can imagine as she poured the oil out and it looked like there was nothing left, God multiplied the amount of oil clinging to the sides of the flask and allowed that same amount she poured out to be brought back in. Same with the barrel of flour. Same with the fishes and the loaves. And dear ones, the same with you and me. When Elijah fled from the threat of death, and he was out in the wilderness, God sent his angel, and the angel prepared Elijah a meal. It was just one meal, but on the strength of that one meal that God provided, he was able to go 40 days and 40 nights without eating again. Actually, it was two times that the angel did. So on two meals, he was able to go 40 days and 40 nights. So God can sustain our bodies, and he can give us the extra nutrition, the extra sustenance that we need to survive however long it might be. All because, amen, all because we have faith in Him. Faith moves the hand of God. Faith allows God to work in our behalf. And it doesn't matter how small or large a faith it is. The fact that we're putting our faith and hope and trust in God, He honors that trust and hope and faith. Amen. He opens the windows of heaven and pours us out a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive because we put Him first in our thoughts and affections. So they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments. That was all done for the purpose of revealing to the people as well as the disciples that God is more than ample to supply all their needs. All they have to do is look to Him, especially for supplying all the needs of their faith. So, dear ones, God can do the same for you and me. If we find ourselves having to flee our house, flee our property, live out in the wilderness, God will provide for us everything we need to survive. And if we only have one meal that the ravens bring us, or perhaps the squirrels or the rats drop at our feet, or perhaps God allows us to remember what edible plants are out there, He will sustain our health based on faith in Him. So if we only have a few leaves to eat that we know are edible, or if the ravens bring us a small piece of food and we divide that small piece among all that are there, God will sustain all of us on that little bit of food because we put our trust in Him. Out of love and compassion for us, He will sustain us. What a wonderful God we have the privilege of serving. There's a comment in the room that says, God won't have unclean animals bring His people food. The ravens brought, I believe it was Elijah, food, and ravens are unclean. I heard and have read stories of individual followers of God in prison and were being purposely starved by the guards, and rats were coming in and dropping off pieces of bread and meat and so on for God's followers there. So, however, God supplies His people with food. If we ask God's blessing upon it, then it will be blessed. There will be no problem eating it. That goes right along with faith. So 12 baskets full of fragments and of fishes were gathered up just from these few small fishes and loaves. Can you imagine being in the crowd and seeing Christ lift up this small amount of food and then watching each of the 12 disciples coming to have their baskets filled and then going and distributing them among the people and coming back and having their baskets refilled and then going and distributing? And then afterwards seeing 12 full baskets of food left over? how much food went to fill the stomachs of 10 to 15,000 people. So God can indeed supply all our needs if we just come and sit at the feet of Jesus. Are there any thoughts, questions, comments? Please feel free.
Pastor Sabe, to all God bless, there's a memory verse that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his.
Sorry, dear sister, we can't hear you. Your sound was a bit choppy to begin with, and then we lost you altogether. Do you want to go out of the room and come back in and then try again? Okay. Sorry, dear sister. We still can't hear you. But we got enough of the song you wanted to sing, so let me sing it. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs. Philippians 4:19. So amen. That's a verse to claim. And thank you, dear sister, for bringing that to our attention. So God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So Christ makes it all possible, and praise his holy name. So 12 baskets full of the fragments were gathered up and brought before the people there, all in the front of the group. Continuing. He who taught the people the way to secure peace and happiness was just as thoughtful of their temporal necessities as of their spiritual need. The people were weary and faint. There were mothers with babes in their arms and little children clinging to their skirts. Many had been standing for hours. They had been so intensely interested in Christ's words that they had not once thought of sitting down. And the crowd was so great that there was danger of their trampling on one another. Jesus would give them a chance to rest, and he bade them sit down. There was much grass in the place, and all could rest in comfort. And then she says, Christ never worked a miracle except to supply a genuine necessity. And every miracle was of a character to lead the people to the tree of life, whose leaves are for the healing of the nations. So every miracle that Christ wrought was to supply a genuine necessity of the people, whether for healing, whether for feeding, or whether for conversion of their hearts. And every miracle was purposely done to lead the people to the tree of life. Now, there was no literal tree of life there in their midst. So then who was the symbol of the tree of life that Christ's miracles were leading the people to come to and receive life-healing virtue? Amen. It was Jesus Christ himself. So every miracle was designed to lead the people to him that they might obtain life. So when you read in the scriptures of this person being healed, or that person being healed, or a cloud of darkness and superstition being removed from their minds, and they recognize the truth, like the woman of Samaria, all of those are done to supply a genuine necessity in their lives. And furthermore, it's designed to lead them directly to Christ for life, for healing, for salvation. So then when we go forth and pass out tracts or provide a need for someone or help someone to get well, to recover from their sickness, we must also make sure that they're pointed to Christ for healing, to gain salvation, and not focused on ourselves, but on the Savior. Because he's the only source of true life for these individuals. So the tree of life is a symbol of Christ, a symbol of the eternal life that Christ can give them, because he who has the Son has eternal life. And he who does not have Christ does not have eternal life. So that means that churches and denomination and membership in this group and that group is meaningless when it comes to the issue of salvation, eternal life, because that is only found in Jesus Christ and him alone. Not in any minister, pastor, priest, pope. No one but Christ can grant us salvation and can amply supply all our needs. Continuing. The simple food passed round by the hands of the disciples contained a whole treasure of lessons. It was humble fare that had been provided. The fishes and barley loaves were the daily food of the fisher folk about the Sea of Galilee. Christ could have spread before the people a rich repast or an abundant feast. But food prepared merely for the gratification of appetite would have conveyed no lesson for their good. So the meal that Christ prepared for the people was simple, not complex, but simple food. And all the people were filled. Their required nutrition was met by this simple food. So, dear ones, if we would eat more simply today, our nutritional needs would also be amply supplied. And so we don't need more complex foods. We don't need foods that take 3 or 4 hours to prepare in order to obtain the nutrition that our bodies need to survive and our minds need for clarity. So Christ could have spread before the people a very rich feast, but that would not have conveyed any lesson for their good. Continuing. Christ taught them in this lesson that the natural provisions of God for man had been perverted. And never did people enjoy the luxurious feast prepared for the gratification of perverted taste, as this people enjoyed the rest and the simple food which Christ provided so far from human habitations. If men today were simple in their habits, living in harmony with nature's laws, as did Adam and Eve in the beginning, there would be an abundant supply for the needs of the human family. There would be fewer imaginary wants and more opportunities to work in God's ways. But selfishness and the indulgence of unnatural taste have brought sin and misery into the world, from excess on the one hand and from want on the other. Jesus did not seek to attract the people to him by gratifying the desire for luxury. To that great throng, weary and hungry after the long, exciting day, the simple fare was an assurance not only of his power, but of his tender care for them in the common needs of life. The Savior has not promised his followers the luxuries of the world. Their fare may be plain and even scanty. Their lot may be shut in by poverty. But his word is pledged that their need shall be supplied. Just as our dear sister began to sing the song, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Philippians 4:19. God's word is pledged that your need shall be supplied. That's a promise. You can put faith in that. The people didn't know where their food was going to come from, but yet God supplied all their need by Christ Jesus. He'll do the same for us today if we wait on the Lord. So God's word is pledged to supply all our need, continuing, and he has promised that which is far better than worldly good, the abiding comfort of his own presence. If Christ is in your midst, he will supply all your need. And his presence is far better than anything that the world can offer.
Are you able to hear me now? Praise God. Eee! Okay. Yeah. I think like the Yahoo engine is down a little bit because that's what I always used to come in. Sorry about that. Okay. In the verse, you know, when I was sharing, when the Bible says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. My God shall supply all your needs." Philippians 4:19. It's so true. And also, in the Bible, it says, David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him." And the Bible, it speaks of a widow who was living with her and her son, and they didn't have any money. And Elijah, that was during a time when the prophet Elijah was alive. And the widow came, the widow didn't know how she was going to pay all her debtors. And Elijah told her to go and fill her home full of jars and ask if her neighbors to borrow the jars. And she borrowed all these jars and filled up her home with it. And the Lord provided her endless amount of oil.
Where are you getting that from?
That's in the Bible.
Elijah asked for to make some...
Elisha. Do forgive me. It was Elisha.
Yeah, but it wasn't filling her thing with, you know, olive oil and stuff, borrowing from her neighbors, her debtors and stuff. It was where Elisha asked...
You talking about to eat? Something to eat?
Yes.
That was Elijah.
Oh, that was Elijah.
Yes,
Lord. Oh, okay.
Sorry.
My bad.
So, it was Elijah. Thank you, Dad. It was Elijah, right? And she went and borrowed her neighbors and the Lord filled it up with oil. And she went, you know, he told her to go and sell it. And she went and sold all of the oil, and she had the provision she needed to pay her debtors that she owed. That was a lot of people today, they say the Bible is just a myth and it's a fairy tale, but they don't know him. And a lot of times when you go through a lot of things in life and you go through trials, it's so that the Lord can show you that he will be there for you. Growing up, personally, I grew up and I saw the hand of the Lord in our lives so many times. And one of the, I remember when my sisters and I, my mom, you know, we were living in North Carolina and we had nothing, no food to eat. We had no food to eat, no money for clothes, nothing like that. And the Lord was the one who provided for us. And when I mean no food, I mean it was so bad where the refrigerator, I remember when I was younger and like we had like, you know, those toy, the play food that you have. We didn't eat eggs at that time, but I had a, you know, a little plastic egg, you know, that came like a playset or something that my grandmother had given us years ago when we were children, younger than what we were. And I used to put it in the refrigerator. I used to put it in the fridge right in one of the little egg things so it can look like we have food in our fridge because it was literally empty. When I mean empty, I mean empty. And knowing that we went through those things and seeing how the Lord had provided for us when we were like we were there, we were all alone. To tell you what the Lord had done. I had my mom, she used to, like we used to get allowance or whatever. And I used to take my, I knew we didn't have, being the oldest, I used to save up my allowance. I used to put it away. And I remember I had $3, and I said, Lord, when I please, I'll give this $3 to use in case of anything, in case of emergency. So please, you know, I prayed over it and I just put it away and I forgot about it. And then when we were at that time when we had nothing to eat and no food in the house, My grandma Bernie lived in another county than where we lived. And my mom told her, we don't have any food. I don't know what we're going to do. And my grandma Bernie said, if you can get over here, I will feed you. You know, I'll have food over here. And so we went, and mom was like, okay, like, everyone try to find whatever change you could find around the house so we could try to see if we could put gas in the car. And this car that we had, this car, it didn't run very well. Once you get it running, if you were to stop, like, let's say you stop at a light or something, it would shut off completely. This car also didn't have any roof. Like, you know, I guess one time it had the sunroof, but it was broken. So we had to use cardboard to cover it. And what happened is, when we went, and we went through the whole house, the Lord allowed me to find those $3. And I said, Mommy, look. I said, look, I found and we forgot about this. We have the $3. I was so excited. I was, oh my gosh. And she was like, oh my goodness. And she was like, this would be enough for us to be able to put gas in the car to take us all the way to Jacksonville. And we put that in the car. And the thing is that the Lord allowed us to be able to go. And when we were driving, and you have to pass, like, all the lights, we was, like, praying, because as you're approaching it, you see the red light. We're like, Lord, please, please, please let it turn green. But as we were coming close, the light was turning green from red to green. And we have to go through another one. It went from red to green. And as we keep going all the way, to know how many miles there was that we had to go, the light kept switching us. It was red. Like, and then, well, we could see, like, ahead, a time that it went from, like, yellow to red. And then as we were approaching it, we were like, Lord, please, please, please. And we were thinking, if this car stopped, we're not going to have a way to get there. And as soon as we approached, it was green. We had green light all the way through, straight to Grandma Bernie's house. And when we got there, the car gave up the ghost. Like it just died. But we were there, and we ate food at Grandma Bernie's. I can't even tell you how like the experience that we had. There's so many people, they don't know what the Lord can do for you. My entire life experience rests on trusting in the Lord.
Yeah.
And knowing that He would do far out and beyond to help His people. This is what it is that I can remember, because when you have nothing, you have God, you have everything. He gives you all that you need before you know about it. Before you even know that you need it, He gives you. And that's just, what do you call, that's just a little, that's a little icing on the cake on what our beloved Father has done for me and my family. Have a blessed Sabbath.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister, for your testimony. And truly, our God shall supply all your need. Amen. Even running on gas fumes in your car, God will supply and allow you to reach home safely. I remember my dear aunt and her family were traveling And, oh, they must have spent several weeks on the road. But as soon as they got home and drove up in their driveway and stopped the car, all four tires went flat. So God didn't allow the tires to go flat when they were driving. He kept them filled with air until they arrived home. And once they were safe at home, then the tires went flat. So God indeed watches out for those who put their faith and hope and trust in Him. And there's even instances in which God was watching out for those who did not yet accept Him, so that they could accept Him as the Messiah. Perhaps the vast majority of these 10 to 15,000 people had not yet accepted Christ as the Messiah, and yet a miracle was done in their behalf for the purpose of leading them to Christ as the tree of life. So praise God for His merciful kindness and tender love and concern for each one of our welfare. Praise His holy name for working to seek and to save the lost, and providing them with blessings so that they would wake up and come to the Lamb of God and partake freely of Him. It's a wonderful lesson today, dear ones, and I pray that each one of us will study more on what Christ has done for us and will continue to do for us until we are with Him, never more to part. Well, it's time for a prayer, and would someone here like to give that prayer? Please go right ahead.
Thank you, dear God, for all the ways that You take care of each one of us. Thank You for seeing the future ahead of us and either opening doors or closing doors. Thank You for being with us every single day, every hour, every minute, because You love us so much, and we love You too. And dear Father, help us to get more and more lessons from these meetings and from fellowshipping with our dear chat room family and our other families. We praise You, Lord, with all our hearts. Thank You. Amen.
Amen indeed. Amen. Well, let's take a little more than a 5-minute break and let us return to quarter after 11 for next service. So we'll see you in about 6 minutes, dear ones.